You're listening to Gerald Fleury and the Key of David on 101.3 KPCG and online at kpcg.fm.
Revelation chapter 10 and verse 7 discusses the mystery that would be finished. And if you check your commentaries and Bible study aids, you'll see that there is great confusion about how they explain that or don't explain it. And I want to explain it to you today and show you that this mystery can be removed and should be removed, although most people don't want that to happen, apparently. But there is great hope in this mystery, great hope in that verse and what it means if you see the context there. But how would that mystery be finished, or how would it be removed? Well, that's one of the most inspiring verses in the Bible, if you understand that. And it is something that mystery is being removed in God's very elect today, and they are proclaiming that message to this world. But most people are not very childlike, and they don't listen very closely to God, and this world is deceived. It says in Revelation 12 and verse 9, it is deceived. But let's talk about how we can remove that deception and remove that mystery as God wants us to do. But we do have to be like little children, as the Bible says, and be teachable and let God teach us from His own Bible. Notice what it says in Revelation 10 and verse 7. But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to, or rather is about to sound, the mystery of God should or would be finished, is better, as he has declared to his servants the prophets. So this is about the seventh trumpet that's about to sound. And that's when Jesus Christ returns to this earth. What does that all mean? The expression "should be finished" correctly reads "shall have been finished," or "would be finished." So you have to make sure you get those words right and really understand this entire chapter, really. Verse 7, I want to read to you from the New King James Version. But in the days of the sounding of the seventh angel, when he is about to sound, the mystery of God would be finished, as he declared to his servants, the prophets. So if you look at the context of this prophecy through chapter 10, it actually dates the prophecy. It shows you where we are in Bible prophecy. Where we are in Bible prophecy, as I've mentioned before, Revelation puts all prophecy into a time frame or a time sequence so that we can understand where we are in Bible prophecy. Otherwise, it would just be confusing as far as the time frame is concerned. Notice verse 1 of chapter 10. Let's back up a little and get the background here. Verse 1, and I saw another mighty angel come down from heaven, clothed with a cloud, and a rainbow was upon his head, and his face was as it were the sun, and his feet as pillars of fire. So this is an angel, but look at all that power, and his face looked like the sun. This is a fiery angel that delivers this little book to this earth. And it also says a rainbow was upon his head. There's a rainbow around God's throne. So what God is showing us and making sure that we understand that this is not from a man. It comes from the very throne of God. It comes from God. And we must understand that to give these words the proper respect. Verse 2, and he had in his hand a little book open. He set his right foot upon the sea and his left foot on the earth. So this message is for the entire earth. That's the point here. It's for everybody. And that's what's going to happen to everybody. That mystery is going to be removed. It's going to be finished. It's not going to be a mystery anymore very soon. And that's to the entire world. verses 3 and 4, and cried with a loud voice as when a lion roars. And when he had cried, seven thunders uttered their voices. And when the seven thunders had uttered their voices, I was about to write, and I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, seal up those things which the seven thunders uttered, and write them not. So we have a book about the little book, and it tells you what those thunders are all about and what this lion roaring message is all about. It is something that really ought to thunder to us if we're looking at it spiritually. It comes at us like the roar of a lion, and that it makes a big difference. Verses 5 and 6, and the angel which I saw stand upon the sea and upon the earth lifted up his hand to heaven, to God, and swear by him that lives forever and ever, who created heaven and the things that therein are, and the earth and the things that therein are, and the sea and the things which are therein, that there should be time no longer, or the Revised Standard Version translates no more delay, which you can see, and it's just about a great change, a downward turn in the course of world events. You can see it today in the terrorism and even the weather and the debt crisis and every imaginable way. You can see something is terribly wrong on this earth. Something is not right. But this verse shows how urgent all this is and how these terrible, turbulent times are accelerating like never before. You've never seen events move so fast and so frighteningly bad in this world. And that's the way it's been prophesied in over 100 prophecies that it would be just before Christ returns. So it's all a sign of a great and a wonderful event, but some terrible suffering is coming upon this earth. So this puts pressure on God's people to proclaim this message and get it out there. The little book is really like the magnum opus or the greatest work of the last and seventh head of God's church or era of God's church. And it's the only book that shows us what is happening in God's church right now, in God's true church, and what has transpired in the recent times, and what Christ is doing about it, what he is doing to correct it. The greatest crisis ever, perhaps, in God's church is today, in this very end time, when 95% of them turn away from God and away from this mystery, or understanding this mystery. They turn away from that. Why? Well, I'm going to send you the little book, and it's really a Malachi's message to God's church today, but also a little booklet that explains all about the little book and those seven thunders and those points that you need to prove this is of God, that it's from heaven and it's not from a man. That's what God wants us to prove. After all, why is it here? And you can read the commentaries, and you know they don't understand this. But they should, because God said he would reveal it in this end time, and this mystery would be removed from the very elect's minds. They would understand all about this mystery, and it's no mystery to them. Now, in the King James Version, verse 6 ends with a colon, so that means that this urgency continues into the next verse and all these verses that I'm talking to you about today. And there is real urgency here. It's, as Daniel said, the crisis at the close of the age of man ruling man. Let me read to you verse 7 again, this time from the New King James Version. But in the days of the sounding of the seventh angel, when he is about to sound, the mystery of God would be finished, as he declared to his servants, the prophets. So we have a book, And we offer quite a lot on this program, the Mystery of the Ages. And it's a book about removing the mystery from the Bible. Look, the Bible is the most confused, misunderstood book on this earth. There is no book so misunderstood. And it's mystery to man. It shouldn't be, but it is. And we have to be obedient and childlike for God to reveal the Bible to us, but it certainly should not be a mystery to us. And this Bible is filled with hope if you understand it. But if you don't understand it, well, it doesn't have very much value at all in that case. But God says, you go ahead and you declare that mystery, even if it's just a witness to people. He wants them to have this witness against them and not blame God for not making it available. He's going to do that, but there are many thousands of people that are reading this message and understanding it, and the Bible is no longer a mystery to them. Let me read you a little bit of the history of Herbert W. Armstrong producing the book, Mystery of the Ages. Now, again, this I'm talking about two books here, the little book and Mystery of the Ages. That's what this chapter is really about. Here's what Mr. Armstrong said in Mystery of the, when he introduced Mystery of the Ages to people, God's people. Dear brethren and co-workers with Christ, since last December, I have been working diligently on the largest and most important book of my life. I candidly feel it may be the most important book since the Bible. Now, that's quite a statement. He candidly believes it may be the most important book since the Bible. Well, why would he believe that? Well, because he says, look, it's a synopsis of the Bible, or like a summary of the Bible, that if you study and have this book with there with your Bible, you're going to understand what the Bible is all about. And it's going the most wonderful book you could ever possibly have. And you ought to fall in love with it. I mean, really fall in love with it. Mr. Armstrong said, I am now in my 94th year when he finished that, and I feel that this book is the most valuable gift I could possibly give to you. And he ran full-page ads in the Wall Street Journal, the most prestigious business newspaper in the U.S., and here's what he said, this book may prove to be one of the most important books of our day. Now, in Malachi's message, or the little book, I have a picture of Mystery of the Ages, and at that time, I didn't even know it was the little book. But there's a picture of Mystery of the Ages. This is all tied together. All tied together. So, now, notice what we need to do with this little book. Verses 8 through 10. And the voice which I heard from heaven spoke unto me again and said, go and take the little book which is open in the hand of the angel, which stands upon the sea and upon the earth. And I went unto the angel and said unto him, give me the little book. And he said unto me, take and eat it up. Eat it up. And it shall be in your belly bitter. It's going to be bitter because 50% of God's people are going to lose their eternal lives, and another 50% are going into the great tribulation, and it takes that to make them repent. And that's a nuclear tribulation. And it goes on to say, but it shall be in the mouth sweet as honey, because it shows you what God is doing today and where we are in Bible prophecy. And that this message from heaven, from God Himself, has been revealed to us, and we note what's going on. We're not confused. The mystery is gone. That's the way it should be for all of us. It goes on to say, and I took the little book out of the angel's hand and ate it up. Just ate it up. And it was in my mouth sweet as honey, and as soon as I had eaten it, my belly was bitter. See, this is a thunderous, lion-roaring message. If you understand the impact spiritually, that's what it is. The worst storm ever to strike this earth is just about to come upon us. And we need to understand that. There is a bitterness in this message. But overall, it's sweet as honey. And it's got so much hope and so much understanding and makes us realize what is going on this earth and why is God allowing it to happen. All of that is explained to you in the material we will offer you today for free. All of our literature is free. Notice verse 11, "And he said unto me, you must prophesy again before many peoples and nations and tongues and kings." Now, so there has to be a prophet. There has to be prophecy. That's what this is all about. So it's all, we're taking the message to the world. But you and I have to eat it up. And the little book helps us to understand why we have to prophesy again. Why do it if we prophesied before, or if somebody did? Why do we have to do it again? Well, because some terrible things happened in God's church. We have to proclaim the mystery of God when we have to really deliver a big book and also a little book. It's about two books. And that's what this verse 7 of Revelation 10 is all about. But we'll send you a little copy of the little book if you, and God says you ought to just eat it up. And of course, we also, if you don't have Mystery of the Ages, you need this book because it is a synopsis of the whole Bible and makes the whole Bible understandable and inspiring to you beyond words to really describe. God says we are to turn many to righteousness, and if we do that, we're going to shine like the stars forever and ever. Now, there's a real reward here God is talking about. We must prophesy again. The church that was our mother church and that so many turned away from, actually the leaders destroyed Mystery of the books they had of Mystery of the Ages, even burned some of them. They didn't want anybody to read them. We had a 6-year court battle where we fought to get access to that book at least, but God even worked it out where we got the old copyright, and now we're able to send Mystery of the Ages to you for nothing, and it's a full-length book and the most important book on this earth next to the Bible. I believe that with all my heart, and I believe if you study it with an open mind, you will agree with me. There's nothing like it on this earth. There's no other book or booklet or anything that it takes away the mystery from the Bible. The word of the day is confusion when you get to the Bible. All these different denominations, all these different beliefs coming out of one book, that's confusion. That's not clarity at all. Revelation 11 in verses 1 and 2, "And there was given me a reed like unto a rod, and the angel stood, saying, Rise, and measure the temple of God, and the altar, and them that worship therein." So then there's more. "But the court which is without the temple, leave out, and measure it not, for it is given unto the Gentiles, and the holy city shall they tread underfoot 42 months. Now you see the word temple there is really from the Greek naos, and it means the inner temple where God is. But there's an outer court. It should be inner court and outer court. And there is an outer court here where those rebellious people of God are, and that's not where God dwells. See, they destroyed copies of that book because they don't understand it themselves today. They did it one time, or at least professed to do so and professed to love it, but they don't today. See, they're in the outer court. They're not where God dwells. And we want to be where God dwells. That's the only way we'll be able to remove the mystery or to finish the mystery as far as our lives are concerned. This is, again, the times of the Gentiles. This is not a good time for the people of Israel, but then after 2.5 years, God is going to deal with the Gentiles as well and bring everybody to their senses. Mr. Armstrong even said, about 6 months before he died, to his own church, said, most of you don't get it. You don't get this message about the mystery of the ages. Now, it's not something we can just casually approach. We need to study it and then study and read it again and study and read it again and really make sure we understand it, because it has all the depth of the mind of God in it. Notice again, verse 7, but in the days of the sounding of the seventh angel, when he is about to sound, the mystery of God would be finished, as he declared to his servants, the prophets. Now, see, I'm talking about two books here, that a little book and then a book about a mystery. Mystery of the Ages is the title of it. And I'm telling you, you can prove these things. I'm not asking you to believe me at all. We're going to provide you with all the proof that you'll need to see that this is biblical. It's right out of the Bible. But look at all the confusion there is in this world and in our minds or people's minds about the Bible. But you can remove all of that. I'm telling you, you can. And you can understand what the living God wants and does say to this world today. But most of them don't listen. But it's all leading up to the most wonderful event when that trumpet sounds, which is talked about there in verse 7 of chapter 10. Notice what it says here in verse 15. Verse 15, and the seventh angel sounded. That's the one that verse 7 of chapter 10 is talking about. And there were great voices in heaven, saying, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of His Christ, and He shall reign forever and ever. He's going to reign forever and ever. Now, see, this is where the mystery would be finished. It's finished right here. When Jesus Christ returns to this earth and begins to reign forever and ever, there's not going to be any mystery about the Bible anymore. Unless somebody just wants to turn their back on God and go their own way. But still, the mystery will have been known to them. And they will have to account for that. But God is going to make sure that every person who has ever lived on this earth through a resurrection is going to have an opportunity to understand His Word, the Bible, the living Word of God. That Christ said we ought to live by every single word of it. And that's the Old and New Testament, and that's where he's talking about millions of or thousands and thousands of words. So we, where it says he shall reign forever and ever, the Farrar Fenton translation says this: he shall reign in the eternities of the eternities. That's your future. He's going to reign in the eternities of the eternities. It's just wonderful. Spirit being lives or sons of God are going to live for throughout the eternities of eternities. There's no end to all of the life that God is going to give you, that He's going to give all of us. This is truly something that we need to be concerned about. What could be more important than this? What could possibly be more important than what I'm talking to you about today? And we need to remove the confusion. We need to remove the attitude of not really seeking this with all our hearts and applying what God says, so we can remove the mystery and see the hope and the joy and the future that is totally positive. I mean totally, totally positive. So here we're talking about two books that we are proclaiming to this world. After all, God talks about these books. Somebody has to understand them here in this end time, just before Jesus Christ returns to this earth to rule it forever and ever. Somebody has to understand it. And I'm telling you, you can prove that these two books are from God. They're not from a man. They're worthless if it's only from a man. They're of no value whatsoever as far as the spiritual is concerned. When Christ returns, all that mystery is going to be gone forever. But look, those who remove that mystery today and help get God's message out to this world as a witness, for the most part, so they can't blame God for not getting the message out there, they're going to be the bride of Christ. They're going to share His throne and help Him teach the whole world how to remove that mystery, and so everybody will understand the living Word of God. Until next week, this is Gerald Flurry. Goodbye, friends.
In the book of Revelation, the Apostle John describes two messages to be delivered in the end time. The first came in the form of an important book that unlocks the mysteries of the Bible. The second describes how God's own people rebelled against the message of the first book. Biblical prophecy is remarkably specific. Learn how two recently published books can change your life. It is a story about God's church gone off track and what God did to correct the tragedy. Request our free booklet, Malachi's Message to God's Church Today, to understand what happened to the worldwide Church of God after the death of Herbert W. Armstrong. You can prove that God allowed the church split to test the loyalty of His people. Though God places most of the blame on the ministers of His church, each individual is responsible for his or her own salvation. You can discover where God dwells today, with a tiny remnant reviving the legacy of Mr. Armstrong and delivering a warning message just before the return of Jesus Christ. Malachi's Message to God's Church Today makes it all clear. Many Bible commentators have put forward their own theories about the little book of Revelation 10. But God has revealed the truth about this book to one man in the end time. Request our free booklet, The Little Book, to prove where this vital message is today. It is a literal book. You can hold it in your hands and flip through the pages, and its message is one that can change your life. To learn more about it, order our booklet called The Little Book. All our literature is available free of charge with no cost or obligation to you. Order today. For the free literature, call toll-free 1-800-339-7629. If you would prefer to write, send your request to The Key of David, P.O. Box 3700, Edmond, Oklahoma 73083.